Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, and those joining us online through our friends in Atlanta on the East Coast on 106liferadio.com, and then, of course, those joining us around the world through blogtalkradio.com. You all know there are two things that I absolutely love, those being artwork and books. Our next two guests are able to bring those two together to bring us an amazing book called Therese Makes a Tapestry. We're excited to welcome to our program today author Alexandra S.D. Hendricks, as well as illustrator Renee Grafe. We're going to talk to them not only about what it was like for them to work together on this book, but how they've been able to take their own creativity to create something that all of us can enjoy, but also is inspiring along the way and teaches us a little bit, too, about history. If you just know hearing about Therese Makes a Tapestry, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. Alexandra, Renee, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank
Hi,
you very
Sarah.
Much.
Thank you.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. So glad to have the two of you with you. I was actually telling the two of you before we went on here how much I enjoyed this book. And Alexandra, I want to begin with you. I mean, when I was reading the book initially, the thing that inspired me was there's so many layers to it, and we'll get more into that here in a moment. But what has it been like for you to not only take your own creativity when it comes to creating Therese, but also being able to share this great story that I think does inspire people to want to know more about history and to learn about the world around them?
You know, it's really been wonderful. Being able to create this character who was not likely to have done what she did in the story, but who certainly might have been a real person living at the Gobelin in 17th century Paris, and kind of imagine her world and what challenges she faced, and then to put them into a story and have people excited to read it, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, it has to be. And Renee, I mentioned to you before we went on here, I watched that great interview with you where you actually taking us behind the scenes, and we all love behind the scenes stuff. You were taking us behind the scenes of the creating of the illustrations for Therese Makes a Tapestry. I mean, what is it like for you to be able to marry Alexandra's words with your artwork and to help bring this book to life?
Well, we've all often talked about this, but this whole experience has been rather unique and magical. Normally, when I receive a manuscript, it's a finished manuscript, and in this case, it was not that. Alexandra was, you know, had the start of her story, and I was able to see it develop. And as her story developed, my story developed also. I mean, my visual story developed also, so that over the months we saw Therese, you know, form into a real person, to us at least.
Wow. And I think the other interesting thing about this, Alexandra, is that it is a story that no matter where people live, and these are the kind of books I love, and I'm so glad that you did this with a children's book, that no matter where people live, there's a connection they can feel to Therese. For one thing, we all know what it's like to have siblings, well, most of us do. We know what it's like to never feel as though, you know, we can actually live up to what others have done, especially in our family, but also what it's like, you know, to have that validation, as Therese does in the story. I mean, what was it like for you, Alexandra, to bring these different layers to life in this book?
Well, I do have one older brother who I adore, but certainly I drew upon some of my own both love and past frustrations with my own sibling. And, you know, I think that regardless of the reasons why, every child at some point faces that feeling of you just need someone to believe in you. You have a vision and you want to prove it to the world, and you look to those closest to you for that support. And it meant a lot to be able to put that into this story for Therese and her family. And, you know, one thing that also crossed my mind, and this wasn't something that was part of my own experience, but there are so many kids out there who have a parent who is working a lot or away a lot, and I think that isn't necessarily a focal point in the story that Papa is gone so much, but it's important, I think, that that's happened throughout history for various reasons, and, you know, for kids to be able to see that as well. I'm rambling now. I'm forgetting the initial question that you asked.
You actually did. Yeah, I was just asking you about the layers to the story, and you were mentioning, of course, your own relationship with your brother, but also, you know, how some of it, of course, is fictionalized. And I think, you know, that the reason I bring that up, and I'll bring Renee in on this as well. I mean, Renee, it has to be great because, as I mentioned in one of the interviews that I saw you give that was on YouTube, you told the story of how you know, would have individuals be able to pose, you know, and being able to draw. I mean, what was it like for you to kind of take this story and then be able to make it your own, really, through your work?
Well, it's an interesting process because when I work more realistically, I do use models so that I can see the shadowing on the face. The clothing I tend to pretty much make up, but this we had a customer specialist that advised us on, you know, exactly what clothing they would have worn back then. So what it involves is, in my mind, thinking about people that remind me of Therese and her family. And I really wanted, like, an intact family as much as I could. So I did find a family. Well, actually, they were neighbors, and they've modeled for me many times before. And so it was the mother, the father, and the daughter, and the daughter was Therese. The father modeled as both the father and the older brother, and then, of course, the mother modeled as the mother. And then my son modeled as the younger brother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So it's very fun. And he's so used to modeling for me ever since he was, you know, a toddler. Maybe not that young, but close, actually. Since about 4 years old, three or four, I would have both my kids model for me, and they thought it was just a normal part of childhood was just posing for their mom.
Of course. Okay. Especially for an artist and an artist family, it definitely has to be, as I guess was Therese's experiences as well. We're going to talk more about that. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with author Alexandra S.D. Hendricks and illustrator Renee Graver, talking to them not only about the book Therese Makes a Tapestry, but also what it was like for them to work together to bring the story to life. Alexandra, I want to go back to you for another point, and I thought about it when Renee mentioned about the older brother. Henry is an interesting character in the book, and not to spoil it for those who have not read it yet, but I think you all can definitely relate to what Therese goes through with Henry, and that is to not recognize always. I think we all have somebody in our lives, Alexandra, who does not recognize our gift or does not recognize what we're trying to do and may in some ways discourage us. I mean, what was it like for you to add that element to the story? Because it is something that, you know, regardless again of where you're living or in what year you're living, I think we all know what it's like for us to have someone like that. Henry, whether it was witting or unwittingly, you know, was able to do that to Therese, but Therese was not deterred by that. I mean, what was that like for you to add to the story?
I think you're absolutely right that that's kind of a universal experience. And, you know, it felt natural really to add that in, perhaps for that reason, that it is something that we've all experienced. And, you know, for me even, I changed career paths in grad school. I was in one program and realizing it wasn't really fitting with my where my passion was, which lay with the history of childhood and children's books. And I'll never forget the discouragement and condescension that I faced from certain faculty members at the time. And thankfully, the supportive faculty members certainly outweighed the negative ones, and I stuck to what I believed would be a better match for me and found the support I did need. And now here I am today feeling like absolutely those were the right choices, and I'm kind of getting my validation. But yeah, for Perez and for children, oh gosh, you know, it's one thing to experience it as an adult, and I think it's easy to forget the sense of powerlessness that comes with being a kid. And certainly for Therese, being a girl in a world where the boys and men around her really dominated the, well, what her dream is, which is to weave a tapestry on a high warp loom and to make this beautiful design into a real, into a tapestry. And so that, I mean, at some point I kind of stopped, you know, I'm no longer telling the story and I'm just hearing it. And, you know, yeah. Therese is taking charge. And that was certainly one of those points where her perseverance and determination just came through, and it was a no-brainer that this is what was going to happen. But also that, you know, those voices, I think another important thing is even though those voices are negative and can be daunting and intimidating, that A, you stick with it and don't give up, and B, that they can come around too, which, you know, I like you said, I don't want to give any spoiler alerts, but, you know, that maybe there's hope for Henri yet.
Exactly. And I think we kind of see that toward the end of the book. Renee, you know, to go to you, you mentioned, of course, how you kind of make this a family affair when you're illustrating. I think one of the most powerful illustrations for me in the book that I think really says so much about what can happen when you are able to go for your passion or to do something you're passionate about is a picture with Therese there with the king, there by her work. I mean, there is, of course, the nervousness that you would have to feel, but also the pride. I mean, what was it like for you with that particular painting to be able to do, to show those mixtures, the excitement, of course, but also this moment for Therese?
Well, that was a powerful moment for me, just because I think that when you pursue your passion, that there are so many surprises along the way, both good and bad, and it just goes along with you know, going outside your comfort zone and deciding you're going to do that and putting the work in. You know, if the book was, you know, twice as long, there'd be many pages of her spending time alone because it just took so long, so much dedication and work to make this a reality. And I think there's very magical things that happen. Serendipity definitely comes into play, where certain things happen at certain times, and just because right. you make that effort.
Exactly. Alexandra, I want to go back to you, and not to belabor the point with Henry, but there was, I think, and it goes back to actually to the story that you shared about your own personal experience. I mean, one of the things I think that makes that moment in the book so powerful are the words. And I want to ask you this question and also tie in what it's been like for you to actually meet the readers and talk to readers. Where Henry says to Therese, you know, no girl can weave a masterful design. You know, you are wasting your time. I mean, that is something, unfortunately, that even in 2016, there are some people who believe there are things that women cannot do. What has it been like for you to hear from readers, and I'm sure of all ages, about how empowering and inspiring this book has been for them?
It has been amazing. I mean, when I have had the chance to meet readers and talk to them, and mostly young girls, although certainly boys as well. You know, sometimes it isn't even what they say, but their eyes will literally just shine. And, you know, and I understand that, because if I were a kid, if I had been that kid talking to an author, I would have been totally tongue-tied. But, you know, I've heard also from parents just about that they can't, their kids won't let them stop reading. They won't let them skip any parts. They won't let them, you know, whether it's a page or words or whatever, they have to go through all of it, and they're totally enraptured. And that's just, oh gosh, you know, that's what it's all about. And
right.
I really hope that that does stick with girls especially, but really all readers who face those challenges and those voices. And sometimes that voice can be your own too. And just that you can't hear enough that you need to hang in there. But in this case, I think it's important that you don't just hear the hang in there part, but that you get stories where that success comes through.
Exactly. Renee, for you, I mean, what has it been like for you to show by example others, both for men and women, as to what's possible? Because I remember growing up myself, being from Mississippi, a country boy from Mississippi, being told what my limitations were going to be. What has it been like for you, through the work you've been able to do, to show people that it's not where you're from, but it's actually how you use what you have that matters?
Well, I was fortunate, actually, because I started working as an illustrator when I was in college. And I, you know, so much of it is trusting that, you know, things work out. And, you know, one opportunity leads to another opportunity, leads to another one. And again, it goes back to, you know, this serendipitous kind of thing that happens, that, you know, that things just kind of work out. You know, and some of it is you just have to just trust even through times that you think that it's not going to work out, but it does. It always does.
Right. I think that is so true. And a great reminder for all of us as well, you know, whatever our own individual gifts or interests might be, we can take a great lesson from Therese and also by extension from Alexandra and Renee as to the importance of not letting others deter you when it comes to something that you want to do. Therese definitely was not going to allow her brother to stop her or anything he had to say from doing what she wanted to do. And our two guests today have been able to do the same thing. Again, everyone, Alexandra S.T. Henricks, as well as illustrator Renee Grafe, have been our guests. Great conversation with the two of you. The book is Therese Makes a Tapestry. It's available now, of course. There are friends at Amazon.com, so you can definitely get it there. Alexandra, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, you can find me online. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Puddle Reader, like a puddle you splash in, and a reader who reads books all in one. Or my website is alexandrahenricks.com. And, yes, I'd love to hear from you.
All right. And, Renee, what about for yourself? How can our audience stay connected with you?
My website is reneegrafe.com. It's G-R-A-E-F. R-E-N-E-E-G-R-A-E-F. And I'm also on Twitter at Renee Grafe and Instagram also. So that would be the best way to get in contact with me. I'm on Facebook too.
Oh, yeah, right. Me too.
Okay. Alexandra, Renee, great conversation. Thanks to the two of you for coming on. Really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the two of you coming back again.
Oh, thank you so much, Cyrus. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
the pleasure's definitely all mine.
This has been a treat.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. But if joining us online, though, we're going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Alexandra and Renee, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.